I'm just saying, thanking the Lord for Kevin and the ministry of a business owner and the ministry of that to provide people with a place to work with a clear conscience before God is a big deal. And many of you are also honor the Lord with your work and with the way you also, the responsible positions you have. And so we thank God for that. As we talk about this series on living by faith, one way that we seek to live by faith is learning to process our fears and anxiety. We previously said, what does it mean to live by faith? And we talked about it means ceasing from trusting in ourselves in any way, our resources, our abilities, even our faith. But ceasing to trust in ourselves and placing all our confidence in God. Not even leaning upon our own understanding, but trusting Him for things maybe you've done again and again, and you sort of can tempted to be feel adequate in yourself. But what you lean upon Him, and He always can do things better than any of us. Trusting in Him, that's what the Christian life is all about. I'll never forget maybe I mentioned this to you before, but this storied pastor of this large church. Thousands and thousands of people. And he had this little sort of sharing with, I guess, ones who were wanted to come to a little Monday morning meeting or whatever. And I can just say maybe nobody knew about it because there weren't many of us there. But he shared a lot of secrets of his heart and his life. And I remember him saying, he said, you know, if every pastor I knew fell into moral sin, it wouldn't shake my faith one iota. He didn't say it wouldn't break his heart, but it wouldn't shake, because he says, my faith is in a perfect Christ, and who's worthy of every ounce of your trust and for whatever concern you may have. And so the Lord is, his eyes move to and fro. You memorized that verse a few weeks ago, whatever. Throughout the whole earth, to find a heart whose is completely His. And the context of that is one who's looking to Him and Him alone. So as the Lord looks down on our gathering, what a beautiful gathering. I would say it would be a beautiful place just to go to be with the Lord, would it not be? Just out this, you say, wow, I hate that I have to live inside the rest of my life. Wouldn't mind living out here. But such a beautiful, beautiful setting. But the Lord is looking down upon us saying, can you find whatever your concern is? God, our faith is attacked. Paul says, I came to find out about your faith, lest the tempter having tempted you. Jesus said it this way to Peter, says, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. So, what is a concern to you today? That's always a wonderful goal for a Sunday worship time. Lord, I want to leave here having fully obeyed the verses there that Kevin read. Having fully obeyed, casting all your care upon Him because He cares for you. Sometimes we don't even realize the cares we're carrying. Our Lord, He's talking to His disciples, and they are very concerned because He's told them He's going to leave. And he says, look, you can't go with me. And they don't know where He's going. He says, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I never thought I would live in a country with the changes that I've seen in my lifetime. But God would still tell us what? Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He says when fear strikes us, and it does, the devil throws those fiery darts of fear at us. And just talking to somebody this morning. And a wise comment a mentor gave me, and I was just saying, he said this. He says, you know, these are round numbers, but he says, you know, about 30, you physically peak. Now, some of you are in absolute peak of life, and maybe beyond that, still at the peak of life physically. But about 50, you emotionally peak. And what he means by this is that you become a little bit more emotionally fragile after that. It doesn't mean that, I always say Christ is sufficient at any age. But things that maybe used to roll down your back don't roll down your back quite as easily. As I was talking to this individual, I think he hits not much more than 50, is he? But whatever. But that is true. But Christ is still, he's sufficient. But it may, see, processing that. And so when fear strikes you, the psalmist says, I sought the Lord and he delivered me from my fear. So at every point of fear, you purpose, God, I'm going to seek you. And I want you to train me to transform that fear into a faith response. And many times you need a scripture to what rest your faith, whatever your concern is. I always say it's very helpful. My grandson called me this week, and he's six, and he's just doing some sort of little kindergarten or whatever. He says, I'm looking forward to it, but I'm a little afraid. I said, well, I was praising him. I said, you know, when your father, when I would put him to bed or whatever, I'd always ask him two questions. One, what are you grateful for today? And, you know, you look at some good and perfect gift. Every good and perfect gift comes from above. But also, what did you struggle with today? In other words, to be able to process. And so I pray. I said, boy, it's just so wonderful. I think I grew up where there was fear in my heart. And if you ask me, are you afraid? I don't think I knew my heart enough to say, yeah, I am afraid. So that's healthy. That's healthy. Not a sin to be tempted. Well, I sought the Lord, and he delivered me from my fear. You know, you have that command that was read, be anxious for nothing. And I probably said to you before, if God stopped there, that doesn't help you. If he tells you, now I know not only that I'm anxious, now I know I'm sinning. So that doesn't help me a whole lot. But God says what? Be anxious for nothing, but let me tell you how to process that. And he says, okay, every time you're tempted to be anxious, that's me tapping you on the shoulder and saying, you know, we need to have a conversation. Pray, pray. Now, as you pray, sometimes you have to pray, say, God, what is it I'm really anxious about? I just know I'm anxious. What is it that's really bothering me? Sometimes you may need him to lead you. And that's the wonderful thing about being a part of a body, is what leads you to others that can aid you in casting that care upon the Lord, to help you cast that care upon the Lord. Sometimes we need help in bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Now he says, not only pray, but he says, let your request be made known, prayer with supplication. In other words, God's saying, okay, tell me what you want me to do about this. Sometimes we just talk to God about the anxiety. Okay, what do you want me to do about it? You say, Lord, I don't know if this is right or not, but this is what I think I want you to do about it. And you lay that before the Lord. Now, here's the thing. When you lay a request before God of something you're anxious about, you cannot trust God with something that you haven't really surrendered to him. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. So you can't trust God with something you haven't surrendered to him. You know, when the Lord is dealing with those individuals there that he's speaking to in James 4, he says, look, you have not because you ask not. And he's anticipating an objection. He says, oh, don't tell us we're not asking. We're asking, asking, asking. Yes, you're asking. But you're asking that you may spend it on your pleasures. In other words, you're asking, but you're treating me as if I were your servant, as opposed to your master. So he'll tell them, submit therefore to God. Would you place it before me? Like our precious Lord exemplified. When he was going to the cross, he shared his heart. Lord, remove this cup from me. But yet not my will, but thy will be done. See, when you're under God's authority, pour out your desires to him. Lord, I don't know if this is right or wrong, but this is what I desire. And so pour out your desires. But you can't trust God for something that you haven't surrendered to him. And once again, I find sometimes as you talking to God and seeking to petition him, you need to say, God, would you show me how to cast this care upon you? Now, sometimes we may need other people helping us, but God, would you guide me to a specific scripture that I can really make a transaction with you and commit this to you on the basis of this? And so when you're tempted to take that anxiety back, you can rehearse, okay, God, this is how I've trusted you, and I've trusted you on this basis. And so asking God to train. I tell you, that's a big, big way a person gets to know God. as you let God, and certainly you let him, even in the process of that, he may dig deep in your heart to show you some lack of submission. Okay, God, I commit this to you. Maybe you're concerned, you know, about a relationship, and you know, you're talking to, you know, I need to tell somebody, and it's sort of a little touchy, and so you, it's hard, okay, but you okay, let's say you trust God. God, I'm going to trust you. Certainly, I desire him to respond in a positive way, but let's say they don't. I want to know that I stand before you, and I was blameless in love toward this person, in my attitude. Now, obviously, and so I surrender to you the response. I obviously desire, I don't want to dissolve this relationship, but I know you're asking me for it to continue. I need to talk to him about this particular concern that I have. So deal with any lack of submission and submit it to God. Now, the third phrase he says there in this familiar verse that you know, that Philippians 4, 6, and 7, he says, pray, talk to me about it. And then he says, supplicate, tell me what you want me to do about it. But then he'll also say, with thanksgiving. So you can talk to God about a concern. You can petition him about that concern. And you can get more wrapped up in that concern than in God. And so what lifts your heart to God is thanksgiving and praise. Praise him that, God, I praise you that you and thank you that you desire to carry this burden. It's not does no strain upon you, but it is a strain upon my shoulders. And I'm not meant to carry it. When he says, cast all your cares upon him. I think sometimes, like I say, we don't realize the cares we're carrying. And we look around sometimes at God's people. If everybody looks like this, I guess this is normal, you know. And this looks freakish. But no, God wants all your cares cast upon him. Praise him that he desires to carry it. Praise him that he's able to carry it. He's able to guard what is a concern to him. He's able to guard what's a concern to him. And praise him that, you know, in the midst of any concern, this always I can back up. You always, always, whatever, you always can believe God for these two things. Now, there's a lot of things that are uncertain. You don't know how it's going, but you can always trust God. When the Apostle Paul, he had that great concern in his own life. He was in prison. He didn't know if he was going to get a death sentence. He didn't know if he was going to live or die. But he tells us in that wonderful, insightful phrase in Philippians 1:20 that I've shared with you before and will share with you again. It says what? He says, my earnest expectation and my hope, and hope speaks of something absolutely certain. My earnest expectation and hope is this, that it would not be, that Christ would be exalted in my body, whether it be by life or by death. He says, God, you exalt your name in this situation. Lord, I don't know about this outcome. I don't know about this job interview. I don't know about this concern that I have in regard to this relational concern. I don't know about how this is going to work out. But God, you exalt your name. Your glory is at stake because, God, my life is yours. That you'd be exalted, whether it be life or by death, however it turns out. And he says that I would not be put to shame in anything. And the verse that so helped me in understanding what does it mean not to be put to shame in anything is our Lord, prophetically speaking of Jesus as he was going to the cross, Isaiah 50 and verse 7, he says he set his face like a flint and was not ashamed. Why was he not ashamed? Because he accomplished God's purpose. Even though he went to the cross and bore our shame, he was not ashamed because God's purpose was accomplished and God ultimately exalted him. So you can always trust God. Say, God, exalt your name in this situation. God, accomplish your purpose in this situation. Believe God for that. Now, maybe as you seek God, he can give you other things to believe him for, but you certainly start there. Well, as I said, that's a wonderful goal for this morning. That's a wonderful goal for any Lord's Day or any day, to cast all your cares upon him. You know the things that are hardest to cast upon him? Are the things that Scripture would call our Isaacs. Our Isaacs are our most precious things to us. We see in Abraham's life, the father of our faith, even though he's extolled as a man of faith, especially there in Romans chapter 4. But he did not waver in unbelief, but you're strong in faith, giving glory to God. But you know, you see the Genesis record, and it's what? The Genesis record, fear struck him, you see there in Genesis 12, and he lied. You see the same thing in Genesis 20. Fear struck him, and he lied. He got tired. He waited and waited and waited and got tired of waiting. So his I guess his wife got tired of living with a man that was a little frustrated. So she's the one who came up with the scheme to go into Hagar in Genesis 16. So those are failures. But what? He picked himself back up. The righteous man falls seven times but rises again. If I would say, you know, the only people that are going to be able to go to heaven is what, the people that have never been anxious. Boy, there wouldn't be a big crowd, would it be? We're tempted. We have those fiery darts of fear. And maybe we all have our vulnerable spots. But, you know, God brought Abraham, who, yes, he had fear and he had lied. He had schemed. But it says what? James says, he was able to offer up Isaac on the altar. Of course, the Genesis record is Genesis 22. He says, God, this doesn't make sense, but I believe, God, I'm obeying you. And if you kill him, you'll raise him from the dead. So he was able to trust God. And James 2, verse 20, says what? His faith was perfected when he offered up Isaac on the altar. What's the idea of perfected? It means God accomplished his goal. See, God's goal for you and me is to be able to trust him with the most precious things of our life. The more something means to you, the harder it is to trust God with it. The more something means to you that you're tempted, like me, to want to control it. And because I feel like, hey, I know I care, and I know I have selfish interests, so I'm going to take care of this. But life, quite frankly, is, we're really not in control. And there are things, and so God brings us to the point that we, what? Trust him. Well, I pray, and even as our time together, anything on your heart. I've told you before, I like to look at my week ahead and I write down my concerns and make sure that I'm obeying, in a sense, what may be an upcoming responsibility, maybe a relational concern, start a lot of classes. Make sure that I'm obeying that. And I pray that for you. But sometimes, in a sense, nothing wrong with saying we need each other's help. So I pray that wonderful, wonderful, gracious command that God, the Almighty God, is saying to you and to me, be anxious for nothing. Now, we have precious things in our life. I looked at one this morning. I have a long list of things I have to say, God, I have to care that. I have to cast that upon you. Cast that upon you. Cast that upon you. I can so easily, what? Be carrying that myself. But Lord, that doesn't do anybody any good. It's like, remember, like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but doesn't get you anywhere. Cast all your care upon him. Let's pray to that end. And God, we thank you for this beautiful setting. We thank you for the privilege of being here in this free country. We thank you, dear God, that you're a God who encourage us to cast all our care upon you. Thank you, God, and we thank you that you know us, dear God. You know things we're carrying sometimes that we don't even realize we are. And so we pray your body would work as it ought. And God, we ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, you would help us all to leave with being obedient to that precious verse, to be anxious for nothing, but to transform that anxiety into faith as we have since to surrender it to you. So God, we need your gracious help. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.